not much. But anyway, I'm not sure what I was going to, if I were to title my message, but I'll start off by giving an introduction, and then maybe I'll try to tell you what the subject is. But first of all, God has always had fellowship with himself before creation, being a triune God. Now, that's a big statement, but since God is love, first of all, he needed to express, God is love. That's an expression that we hear in God's word. So he needed to express that love to others, and I would suggest that he expressed that love to within the persons of the Godhead. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they would relate that that love could be shown to each other. Now, in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, we read this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Just an aside here for the time being. The Trinity is implied when looking at the Hebrew, when you look at the Hebrew text. Now, I'm not a Hebrew person, but anyway, it says, then God, which is in plural, the plural word God. So God is plural, but he said, the word said is singular, a singular verb in Hebrew. So, you don't mix and match plural and singular, but that's what was done here, and it's done with intent, because it says, let us, God, the plural, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. Just for reference, background information, for what it's worth. Okay? This means that, so what I'm trying to stress on here is the importance of it, that God, that man is made in God's image. Now, what does that mean? That is a big question. probably theologians are probably will talk about this for a long time, and they'll probably never come to the end of it. But man was placed on earth as God's representative, in a sense, you want to call it, and he resembles God in certain ways. He has an intellect, okay, a moral nature, and the power to communicate with others, an emotional nature. But all this stuff is different than animals, right? I mean, yeah, a dog can express, emotions to some extent, feelings, maybe, but not to the extent that man can. We have a God's spirit. It's been expressed as Father, we have a body, the physical body, the soul, and our spirit. The spirit is what we say is not in men, is not in animals and plants and other things. We have God's spirit. We have a spirit. God's spirit indwells us if and when we come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But a spirit is the God conscious part of part of us. We need to understand that. So just as God is a Trinity, maybe this is a suggestion on what it means that God is made in our that man is made in God's image. God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in like manner, man has three parts to us: the body, the soul, and spirit. That's just one suggestion that's been thrown out there. Also, man has an intellect and the ability to think through things logically. Part of our intellect is that we have creativity beyond that of the animal world. Look at how man has developed over the years, because we create things and men continue but the important thing is that man, what I'm suggesting here in my talking here is that we have a relationship. That's the key word, perhaps. God expresses love to us. That's part of, and the relationship that we have is that this is the way God made us. We have relationships between people. First, but the important thing is that we have a relationship with God. And that's why we're created. God made us to have relationships. So this is perhaps the topic of my conversation here this morning is relationships, if I can summarize that. So good relationships are an important aspect of life. Father, mother, brothers, sisters, all those are good, hopefully good relationships. Sometimes they are not good relationships, and we have to understand that some people live in abusive situations, perhaps, but and that's a bad thing, of course. But if we have good relationships, that is important. Marriage relationships, we have physical and emotional closeness, and that is important to us. Now, I looked and I Googled this. Babies will die without the touch of someone who loves and cares for them. So I'll just read a couple of the statements that I got from Googling it. Touch is essential for human survival. Babies who are deprived of touch can fail to thrive, lose weight, and even die. Babies and young children who do not get touched also have lower levels of growth hormone, so a lack of touch can actually stunt a child's growth. Now, another one. On the other hand, children who do not have affectionate parents tend to have lower self-esteem and to feel more alienated, hostile, aggressive, and antisocial. There have been a number of recent studies that highlight the relationship between parental affection and children's happiness and success. Skin-to-skin contact also helps babies' bodies self-regulate, which stabilizes the heartbeat and breathing patterns. 75% of heart and breathing episodes are reduced using skin-to-skin contact. Pain has also been shown to be reduced through skin-to-skin contact. So, for what that's worth, it's just a comment about how babies, there's an importance of relationship, if I can express it in that terminology. Babies, of course, is physical touching. And a sense of love. If that's not there, that's not the way God made us. God made us to express love to one another. And yes, I'm using the word relationship, but of course, the important aspect of the relationship would be love. What happens when a loved one dies? Well, we're comforted by those who come to us and visit us and hold their arms around us, so to speak. You know, one of the best things that you can do, perhaps sometimes, when someone dies and you visit them or you go to the funeral with them, is not to say anything. Just be there for them. Sometimes that's the most important thing. In other words, I've lost that relation. That person has lost the relationship with that person that died. But they can be assured that, hey, I'm with you. We're here for you. Just the physical presence is an important aspect of life. So may we do that. But what about, remember when cell phones came out? What was the big thing about that? I'm connected. I've got connections. I got my friends. I can call each other and, talk to me. But with time, this is how the devil gets into play. Now you have parties, and what do? You all sit around with your phones, and you're not interacting with people. Why? Because you're looking at your phones and your apps and your videos and all this kind of stuff. But it's not the way God intended you. You were made to have a relationship with people. That's an extreme situation about the, using the cell phones, perhaps in a way that is beyond it. But initially, when they first came out and texting and all, texting was foreign to me. But now I'm into it because it's a quick way. But it's connection. It's we have interaction. We have people. Why? Because God made us that way. So, people love to tell stories, don't we? But we want to be heard. We want to know that people care. What about people that do things on their own? Yeah, they do things on their own, and, you know, they climb a mountain on their own. Do they have fun about that? Yeah, it was all fun. But you know what? The important thing is they've got somebody to tell about it. I want to relate that story to somebody else. So what about the pandemic? Wow. Now we're separated. We distance ourselves from everybody. That's not the way God made us. but we had to go through that, and hopefully we're beyond that to some extent, but it's had its effect. Good relationships are important and valued, I would say, more than all the money in the world. Ask a rich person, and they would rather have a good relationship with somebody than to have all that money. I think that would be true. Check it out. Anyway, so I think of people like, ask a rich hermit, I would say. But that's maybe not a good illustration. Why? Because that hermit, why is that hermit a hermit? He separated himself from all the rest of the world. Why? That's not the way God made him. But probably he had a bad relationship with somebody in the past. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but whoa, why? It's the bad relationship has said, look, I don't want to go through that again. That hurt big time. And I don't want to go through that again, so I'm going to separate myself from all the other people so that I don't have that hurt again. Maybe that's not a proper way to go through life, but you can understand it to some extent. There's been abuse. So, anyway, moving on. God is offended by us when we break our relationship with him. Now, he sensed the breakdown of good relationships. Sin broke that relationship. Why? We had a good relationship. You know, Adam and Eve, they had communion with God. But when sin entered the world, that relationship was broken, and now there's no it was broken. So Satan attacked that important relationship, that characteristic, that the fact that man was made in the image of God, that relationships were so important. Satan had to attack that important aspect of our lives, and particularly of love. Between God and man, there was a relationship between that Adam and Eve, between Adam and God, even God. But that Satan had to attack that, the most important aspect of our lives, I would suggest. So Jesus was rejected by mankind. Man didn't want a relationship with their Creator. Why? Because. Well, I would suggest that it would mean that they would have to submit their will to him. That recognizing that the God of the universe, oh, now we have to have a relationship with him. But no, I want to choose my relationships. I want to choose what I want to do. But God was offended by that sin. So how do we know that from God's word? He was rejected at his birth. Remember when he was born here on this earth? There was no place for him in the inn. Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Relationship. No relationship between him and God. Between God and man. John 1, verses 10 to 12. He was in the world, the Lord Jesus, this is talking about, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, creator of the world, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, that's hopefully us as believers in the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So, God is offended when we break our relationship with him. Here's an example. And remember when the Lord was went to the to Garden of Gethsemane just before he was going to be crucified. In Mark 14, I'll read this verses if you want to read along. Mark 14, 32 to 42. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Now, the parallel passage in Luke 22 in another gospel, it says, I'll just read a couple verses here, just to impress on you the importance of the agony that the Lord Jesus was going through. It was, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" The Lord Jesus, in his time of greatest need for friendship, for relationship with his disciples, what do? They're sleeping. Do we do that? Let's consider the love that the Lord Jesus has for us, that he would die for us even when we were sinners, even when we would sleep through his most difficult times. So Jesus suffered, I would suggest that Jesus perhaps suffered the most when his Father forsook him on the cross of Calvary. Don't know if that's, I mean, I'm just suggesting that. What a troubling time this was when he was all alone in the time of greatest need. So when he was on the cross of Calvary, he says, Matthew 27, 45 to 46, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Separated, no relationship. Now, humanly speaking, this must have been a double blow to him, so to speak, if I can say it that way. We already looked at the disciples sleeping through his prayer time when the Lord Jesus would have appreciated that closeness and intimate relationship with his disciples, but he didn't get that. An angel had to come and minister to him. But here, on the cross, he was forsaken of his Father, and I don't fully understand that, but I can just tell you that relationships to me are very, very important, And I know that's the way God made us, and it's extremely important. But the other thing is, just think of Palm Sunday, the week before. He was exalted and given the rightful place where he was recognized who he really was, the Messiah. Matthew 21, verses 8 and 9. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and blessed those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we as humans, don't we? We go up and down in our emotions, back and forth. And here, Palm Sunday, he was given the rightful place where he was supposed to be. And then his disciples sleep through his time of hardest need. And then, forsaken of the Father on the cross of Calvary. Wow. What great love God has for us, doesn't he? So if I would suggest maybe another topic, if you want to call it that, is I'm talking about relationships, but I'm talking about loneliness also. Why do we have loneliness? Satan recognizes that true love is powerful and a reflection of who God is. Therefore, what does he do? He wants to divert our attention from God to things, pleasures outside of relationships, selfishness, all these other things, but instead of the way God created us to be. So in a sense, Satan is creating a love for himself by putting, when we put our emphasis on pleasures outside of God, especially, and of relationships with ourselves, then Satan is getting, he's getting the love to himself to some extent and his ways. So Satan is out to destroy our relationship with attitudes of hatred, selfishness, pride, and exalting oneself at the expense of others. So just a comment here. Just when you look at the Ten Commandments, what is that? We're destroying relationships. Let's go through them. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, what God is saying is, don't destroy your relationship with God by hurting him and seeking after another god. You shall not make for yourself any carved image. The next one. So in other words, don't destroy your relationship with God by hurting him and creating an image that would replace our relationship with him. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Once again, don't destroy your relationship with God by hurting him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't destroy your relationship with God by disregarding or disrespecting his laws. Now, if you want to get into that a little bit more and have a debate on that, we can go come Tuesday night and have that discussion, because we're right on that topic. But that's an aside comment. But that's a, remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. Don't destroy your relationship with those who raised you by disrespecting them. You shall not murder. Do not destroy your relationship with your fellow human being. You shall not commit adultery. Do not destroy your relationship with your wife or your husband or any other fellow humans due to a lack of commitment and selfish attitude. You shall not steal. Do not destroy your relationship with fellow human by selfishly taking something that is not yours. You shall not bear false witness. Do not destroy your relationship with your fellow human as well as God and his laws by offending them with a lie. And you shall not covet. Do not destroy your relationship with God by letting him know that you are not satisfied with the way God made you and or not giving you specific things. So that's just some thoughts that I had about how Satan is attacking relationships. And when God gave us the Ten Commandments, he was trying to address those that in that sense of the word. So why do we sometimes desire to be on an island by ourselves and become a hermit? Because loneliness, I would suggest, loneliness or no relationship neutral relationship is better than being hurt and having a bad relationship and being rejected by our friends. That's why people isolate themselves. It's not the way God made us, but we can understand it to some extent, can't we? It's a terrible thing to have our relationships being destroyed. So relationships are fragile because of Satan and the fall. We'd rather be alone than having a bad relationship. So for what that's worth, I just some thoughts. So how can I I'll also this was kind of prompted by a devotional that I had, and Janie and I are going through at night, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life by Chuck Swindoll. And I'll just read you a couple sentences here from this paragraph on loneliness. Some time ago, someone placed the ad in a Kansas newspaper. "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Sounds like a hoax, doesn't it? But the person was serious. Did anybody call? You bet. It wasn't long before this individual was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pang of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to try anything for a half hour of companionship. God knows, my friend, and he does care. Please believe that. He not only knows and cares, he understands. He is touched. He is moved. Entering into every pulse of anguish, he longs to sustain and deliver us." So I just thought I'd throw that in there for what that's worth. But anyway, so what are the conclusions? We want to appreciate the fact that we are God's special handiwork, since we are made in God's image. Thank him, praise him for the way he's made us. Just like he has relationship within the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are made in his image, and I would suggest that is part of being made in God's image. So appreciate him, thank him for who he is, and then for his great, divine, loving relationship he has for us. What amazing God we have. And the fact that he has mercy in putting up with our weakness and our inconsistent love for him. Remember his disciples sleeping? God is so merciful to us. He puts up with our limitations and our weaknesses. And we got to thank the Lord and praise him, appreciate him for his sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for us. God sent the Father, God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, even forsaking him at the point of death. Remember Isaiah 53:10. I don't understand this. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased God to bruise his Son? That's because of his love for us. What an amazing God we have. So may we appreciate him for what he's done for us. And then challenge ourselves to strengthen our relationship, our love that we have for God, first of all. Do you have a relationship with God? That's the way God has made you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come and acknowledge him as your Savior and Lord. If you haven't done that, come and do that this morning or whatever. God is waiting for you. He's calling you. He's saying, come and believe in my Son, the Lord Jesus. I loved you so much that I sent my only Son to die for you. Come, accept him as your Savior. So challenge ourselves to strengthen our relationship with, establish that relationship if you don't have that relationship with God. And then strengthen it as we grow in the Lord. May we strengthen that relationship, realizing that is the way God made us. And then we want to not only challenge ourselves to strengthen that relationship with God, but to strengthen our relationship with others around us. and realizing how important relationships are in life. And so, and of course, I'm dwelling on the concept of love, that relationship of love that we have, that God has. So, and then may we ask forgiveness from those whom we may have offended in our past relationships, and then trust God. God can be trusted. Trust me. Trust me. Not that you can trust me, but trust God. He can be trusted. He has never failed. He has always come through with any of his promises. He's 100% the way who he said he is, and he's always loving us at all times. And work on forgetting the past abuses. Now, I know that's a tough one for some people that have gone through an abusive situation. I sympathize with you, and may we wrap our hands and arms around you and sympathize with some of the abusive situations that we've gone through. But we've had some a lot of people, in fact, in today's world, more and more and more people are having this. Why? Because Satan is digging into the people's lives and disturbing those relationships. But may we forgive. May even if you've been abused or have a hurt relationship, many varying degrees of hurt and abuse, but may we forget those things and forgive as required, and just appreciate the loving relationships the way that God intended, and ask God to help you appreciate them. So I don't know if that's helpful, but I think it was just important for us to understand how important God has placed such an important relationship of love on us as our as his creatures. And that's all we need to remind ourselves about his love, and may we express that love to others around us, as imperfect as we are, do the best we can, and ask God to help us. And may we not become hermits, so to speak. We're here to interact with people. I think just a very quick comment. I just got this text this morning from Carmen as we're praying for him about his dad, and he just says, all of your prayers on my behalf are appreciated more than you can know. Our hands are we're putting our hands and arms around him and saying, we're with you, we love you, in a very imperfect way. God shows us that love so much better than we as humans, but sometimes God uses us as humans to express that love to others around us. So anyway, for what that's worth, I hope that's been helpful, and may we constantly strive to increase that loving relationship we have with God, first of all, and then recognize that we need to express that relationship with others around us. May we never be lonely, so to speak. If you're lonely, please let us know, because we want to reach out our hands of love and mercy and grace and fellowship with you. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your great, great love for us. What a wonderful God you are. We marvel in your presence and just pray that you would help us to appreciate the way we've been made. And we pray that you would help us to have a good relationship with one another, and that we might truly love to show that love to others around us. Give you thanks and pray your blessing on this time together, and pray that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We pray that if there's anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they would come to that point of saying of putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he would die for us. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for him, for the Lord Jesus. Again, we just give you thanks and commit this day and this time into your hands. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.